Okay, we are in Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. If I could get everyone to stand now that you're all nice and comfortable. And we are going to read the Word of God. 20 through 23. It says, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern the things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we go through this, truly, Lord, help us to understand it, to grab hold of it, and Lord, take it everywhere we go. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so, as we roll on, you know, Paul's been exposing the cults. And that's what we're talking about, is the truth about the cults. And he's been exposing them. And it just he's going through the system and saying, okay, you talked about this and you're teaching this, and I just want you to know this is false and we're going to attack it. And so he just goes right down the line. Last week we talked about mysticism. Also found out that there are some people that are being prayed to that have been declared legends or myths. And so you have some religions, you have people praying to these saints or to whoever that don't even exist and have never existed. Mysticism. Man, what do we put our faith in? Who do we pray to? Who do we talk to? Where do we put our energy? And so then this week, he rolls on and he talks about legalism. You know, a lot of people put a lot of pressure. Religions put a lot of pressure on people that you have to do this, and you have to say this, and you have to act like this, and you have to do this. And then all of a sudden you have all these rituals, and we talked about rituals, and all of a sudden we are bombarded by have-tos. You know, the Jews had 10 commandments in which they were required to live by. 10. By the time they got done with those 10, they had 613. That they were imposing on the people. And the crazy thing about this is, not only were they imposing it on the people, but these people had to memorize all 613. And if they failed to carry one of them out, or they broke one of the rules or the commandments, they always had a great Pharisee to expose them to what they were doing. We've seen that when the apostles were walking through the field and they grabbed hold of some wheat and they were eating the wheat from the field in the corner, and they weren't stealing, because back in that day, people were allowed that were walking along the path that would follow the fields. They were allowed to reach out and take what was ever within reach. And so the apostles taking the wheat and eating from it, they weren't stealing, they weren't doing anything wrong, but the Pharisees seen this and they said, hey, wait a minute, he's eating and hasn't even washed his hands. And so all of a sudden, rule number 549, thou must wash hands before you eat wheat walking in the field. I don't know. I don't know if that's really the number, so don't go home going, well, Pastor said 549 says, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. But they were holding them accountable. Everything that they did, there was somebody there to point a finger and say, what about on a Sabbath? You realize on a Sabbath, man, you had to prepare all your food, you had to prepare everything that you were going to do on Friday because you couldn't do it on Saturday. And if you had to travel, your travel was minimal, because if you traveled too far, which was like 0.2 mile or something like that, 0.1 mile, I can't remember now, then it was actually considered work. And then you would get in trouble for breaking the Sabbath. And so we had all these laws and all these rules, 613. God gave them 10. Moses come down and said, here's 10 commandments, follow these. Man got a hold of them and said, okay, God, we revamped them just a little bit. Here's 613 now that we're going to live with. Man, they just impose all these rules. Our government just keeps putting more laws and more laws and more laws on the book. I remember when the school, and the government didn't do this, the school system did, but there was somebody did a prank and it was an exploding ink pen, you know, and the ink didn't explode, but the cap went off. So whenever you pushed the button, it ignited the cap and it scared the teacher, and the teacher jumped back. When she jumped back, she fell over. And so the best way to handle the situation was not to figure out who put the ink pen there with the exploding cap, but they outlawed, banned all ink pens from the school. Now, you can only use pencils, and they have to be number 2 lead pencil with no click top. Are we crazy? Yes. And so what happens, somebody breaks one little rule, somebody is disobedient in one area, and then we apply this huge law for the multitude, and everybody has to live by it or die by it. And this is what the cults do. They say, listen, you have all these rules that you have to do. You know, there's cults that require cutting. You have to cut yourself, and there's all this scarring. Well, wait a minute, Jesus says that your body is a temple. Why are you destroying the temple? Oh, because some idiot over here said I had to cut myself. Why are you doing that? I just pick it up and put it down. That's what I do. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the mentality of people that are following the cults. How do you get absorbed into this? How do you get absorbed one sinner following another sinner straight into the pit? How does this happen? I think if I got to cut myself to be a part of your group, this isn't too good. You know what I'm saying? It's just, if I got to do things against my body that the Bible says not to do, this isn't too good. I mean, it's just common sense that if it causes a lot of pain, costs you a lot of money, and your fearless leader is eating wonderfully and you're starving, this isn't a good thing. I'm thinking there's an issue here that I got to look at. If he's my leader should have my best interest, amen? I shouldn't be starving, and they're driving around in sobs, and I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm working on my sob, you guys, just so you know. I really am working on it. But, I mean, my leader should not be living way up here watching everybody else struggle down here. A leader that loves me is going to come down here with me. Wait a minute, Jesus did that, didn't he? A leader that loves me is going to sacrifice himself for me. Wait a minute, Jesus did that. See, we see a huge difference, a huge dynamic that when God's involved versus when man and his ideologies are involved. We see God gets right down in the mix with us, man. I mean, he comes right down here on earth, and he is pure and sinless and holy and righteous, and no blame in him, no sin in him, no defilement whatsoever in him, and yet he comes down where we are as filthy rags. We're all defiled. We're all sinful creatures. All of us. So if you came in here today thinking you were perfect, sorry, hate to burst your bubble, but you're not. And if you thought this church was perfect when you came in, then you ruined it when you got here. Sounds like you guys didn't like that one either. But listen, that's the truth of it, guys. Listen, we are not perfect. We are sinful creatures, and our holy God, who is perfect, said, if I'm going to lead him, I'm going to do it by example. And he came and he died on the cross for you and me. There were no legalism. People say, well, I can't be a Christian because if I'm a Christian, then I got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. No, you don't have to do it. It's called free will. You have a choice. You got the free will to follow God or not follow God. But he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you want freedom, you'll do what I say, not because it's bondage, but because what I say is absolute best for you. Don't have sex before marriage. Well, God, you're just taking away my fun. No, I'm sparing you from disease. I'm sparing you from having to raise a child by yourself. I'm sparing you from all the other headaches that I can't talk about because I don't know. God says, I'm not trying to put you in bondage. I'm trying to give you freedom to live your life. And we go, well, you just want control. No. I want you to live. And so what we have to understand is that when we talk about legalism, we're talking about the rules. That I don't want you to misunderstand legalism. I've put it down here. It says legalism is sometimes confused with obedience. Don't confuse legalism with obedience. Obedience is because you love your Savior. Legalism is rules because you have to do this. Because it's a requirement to get somewhere. God says, I just want you obedient. You cannot use the flesh to eradicate the flesh. You cannot use the flesh to eradicate the flesh. Because this is so sinful. And yet people say, well, you got to do this with your body to get rid of the sin. But you can't use flesh to eradicate flesh because the flesh is what's sinful. And yet people put all these things on us. All right, number A. Let's look at A. How man-made rules chain us. When you look at this, the aesthetics of cults hopes to sanctify the body through works, through rules, through things of doing. And Jesus says, listen, I'm not going to sanctify, you're not going to be sanctified through all the stuff you do, you're going to be sanctified for what I've done. See the difference between a cult and Christ? He says, it's not what you do that's going to make the difference, it's what I've done that's made the difference. It wasn't because you first love me that you're going to do what you do, it's because I first love you that now I want you to follow in my footsteps. And a cult says, if you do all of this stuff, then you will be released from whatever it is you're looking to be released from. And Christ says, it's only through me, through the shed blood, will you ever get where you want to be spiritually. And even though we're in the world and we have to be here physically, we don't have to live here spiritually. Isn't that what John says? John 17, 15 through 19 says this. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Jesus says, I'm praying for the saints. And by the way, if you're saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're the saint. He says, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not going to pray for you the way you think or the way you'd want me to pray for you, because how many would like for Jesus to pray for us to be taken out of this world? Amen. I'm ready to go. Take my children, my wife, take me. I'm ready. It's good. I don't want to go without them, but I'm ready. And he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He says, I'm just praying that you protect them from Satan. They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. See, everything's through Christ for us, not through the cult, not through the actions, not through what you can give or what you can do to yourself, but it's to the one you look to, which is Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, I know that you live in the world, but you don't have to live like the world. It's tough being different, isn't it? I mean, look, I'm the pastor, I'm supposed to be the backbone, and I go out, and sometimes the pressure at work, sometimes I would just like to fit in. I would just like to fit in. Man, they're doing some things I used to do, and then the flesh will take over, and in my mind I go, man, if I didn't love Jesus, I could show you something, boy. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm not the only one, so don't look at me like, oh, the pastor's saying that. You guys are there too. And sometimes it's just tough, because I'm over there and I'm by myself and they're over there and they're all together and I'm excluded, and I'm excluded because I won't lie. I'm excluded because I won't curse like them. I'm excluded because I won't join into their dirty jokes and their conversations. And so all of a sudden I don't fit. And sometimes that's a heavy load. Sometimes I just want to go, Lord, I just want to fit. I'm tired of being different. And here's the coolest thing. Jesus says, you got free will. It's your option. Oh, sure, throw free will in there. I have an option. But I'm not willing to pay the price for my free will if I choose to walk away from you. He goes, either way, you got a choice. I tell my girls all the time, they get in trouble. You got a choice. You got a choice between the spanking, between going to your bedroom and then the spanking, and between... You got a choice. None of it's going to be pretty, but you got the choice. And God says, listen, you have the choice, but I want you to know that you're not of the world. You don't want to do that anymore. Or you shouldn't want to do that. I only want to do it sometimes because I don't want to be left out. But do you know the price that would cost if I joined in? It'd be devastating. I'd lose my testimony, and then I'd have to come and face you guys. How can I preach in the pulpit knowing that I've partaken in things that I shouldn't? Got the free will, but he says, listen, you're not of the world. You got to live there, but you're not of there, just like I'm not. And man-made rules, man, they chain us, and they bind us, and they put us where we really shouldn't be. number one, blinding us to the teaching of God. Man-made rules, they blind us to the teaching of God. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Save your spot in Colossians. I want you to turn to Romans, if you will. Romans chapter 6, not chapter 1, sorry. And it's just to the left of Colossians, just a little bit. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to look at 1 through 14. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism in death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certain we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him." And guys, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, death no longer has dominion over you. No longer has dominion over you. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear what happens after death. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to fear death. It no longer has power over you or control over you. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be with Jesus Christ. Man, that's exciting. You can almost just kind of like go to death. You know what I'm saying? Almost. So then he goes on, verse 10. "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, just like Jesus Christ, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as the instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." When you say, "Well, I'm human, I'm going to sin," what you are really doing is you are giving yourself permission to do what you want to do. Because God says, listen, sin no longer has dominion over your life. As a matter of fact, remember the lady that committed adultery, and all those people came and brought her to Christ and said, "Look, she's committed adultery, and we're going to stone her," because that's what the penalty for adultery was. And so Jesus gets down and he doodles in the dirt and then he says, listen, and he doesn't even look up. He said, "Whoever is without sin, I want you to cast the first stone." And then he looks up and all of them are gone but the lady who committed adultery. She's standing there looking at Jesus and Jesus says this to her, "Where are your accusers?" She says, "They've all gone." And then he makes this statement. If it was unrealistic, I don't believe for a moment that Jesus Christ would ever have made this statement. He said, "Well, then neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." He said, "Go and sin no more." If she was able to go and if she was not able to go and sin no more, I don't believe that Jesus Christ would have told her to do something that was impossible to do. I don't believe that he would have set her up for an unrealistic expectation which would cause failure. I don't believe Jesus Christ set her up to fail. I believe that when he said, "Go and sin no more," that he meant, listen, you are not chained to the world. You are not chained to their rules. You're not chained to their laws. You're not chained to the lust of your flesh. You're not chained to be disobedient. Here's what I'm giving you. I am giving you the freedom to walk and sin no more, and that is what I want you to do. I want you to go and sin no more. And people say, "Well, I keep, listen, I'm human. I'm going to make a mistake." What you are saying is, I don't discipline my body, I don't bring it into subjection, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24. Paul said, listen, I beat my body, I bring it into subjection, that I won't sin, mess up, and be disqualified so I can continue to preach the gospel. The problem with us today, especially in America, is we are such sinful people in America in the respects that we have become such a selfish group of people, a self-righteous group of people. Oh, I want because I deserve, but you didn't earn it. I don't care, my government says I deserve it, but you don't. And we want what we want, and we want it now at any cost. We feed this lust that we have. We feed the flesh. And Jesus says, listen, you're not chained to the world. Break yourself of that and go and sin no more. Be the righteous one that God has called you to be. Well, that's too hard. It's only too hard because you're too selfish. See, it's all about you. If you can't relinquish what you know is hurting you and your family, if you can't stop doing the sin that you know is overwhelming your life, that's conquering you, that is taking you and stopping you from having victory in Christ Jesus, if you don't let go of that, it's because you choose to stay in it because you enjoy it. Yeah, that's not true. It is. There's got to be some truth to you wanting it. It's all about you. You are feeding your desire, you're feeding your lust, and you will do anything to make your flesh feel comfortable. Selfish, selfish people. And he says, listen, you're not chained to that sin anymore. Christ died. Christ released us from it. But the rules, man, they blind us to the teaching of God. I can't have salvation. I got to work for it. You mean it's a free gift? Look, let me tell you, nothing's free in this world. No, you don't understand. Salvation is free. No, it's going to cost me something. Yeah, it's going to cost you freedom if you don't choose Christ. We're so caught up in the mind of the world's philosophy that we let it dominate our lives. And as believers, we get blinded too. Why do believers get blinded? How is it that believers get blinded through the truth of the gospel? I'm going to tell you how believers get blinded. They don't pray. They don't read the word. They don't spend time with God. They seek after the things for the flesh, not the things of the spirit. And therefore, you are easily persuaded of things that aren't truth, because if they just put a little truth in there with a whole lot of lie, and they do it really nice and really confident, and where you go, wow, I like that guy, they got charisma, then you are persuaded from the truth, and Satan brings you over here and then destroys you. And it only happens because you're too lazy to get into the Word of God. You go, Pastor, you're getting personal. No, I'm telling you, I want you to see what's going on in your life. I want you to look in the mirror and look at the real you. Now, here's the cool thing. I don't know who doesn't read their Bible. I don't know who does. I don't know who prays. I don't know who doesn't pray. I have a good idea. It's called the fruit that I see. Some of you say you're an apple tree. I say you're a pine tree, because all I see is pine cones. How is it that it dominates us? Because you've not died to Christ. You've not died to yourself and live unto God. It's a spiritual issue. All of your struggles are spiritual issues, guys. Satan will put stuff in your path to pull you away from God. Pull you away from God, you lose victory. You lose victory, you're defeated. You're defeated, you become a burden. And then Satan just compounds it. And he just feeds off of that momentum. And then all of a sudden, you're like on a hamster wheel. You don't know how to get off. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual issue. How many of you said, okay, New Year's, I am going to start reading my Bible every day? Oh, you meant New Year's 2022. I'm going to have victory in my life because I'm going to start doing this, and I'm going to quit doing this, which has dominated me. And I'm going to, well, you know, it's just not the right time yet. The timing's got to be perfect. You know, timing's everything. I can't just let it go yet because, you know, if I let this go, I haven't dealt with this and this and this over here. And by the way, how does it go? I drink coffee for your protection? You know, I do this for your protection? Oh, you don't want me to quit doing this, man, because you won't be able to live with me. And so rather than be discomforted by your sin, or you getting righteous, it's more comfortable to let you live in your sinful world. So yeah, you're right. So you just hang over there and do that. Selfish. So selfish. We got to die to ourselves and live to Christ. Colossians 2:20 says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Why do you subject yourself to the things that continue to dominate your life that are not of God? 2, binding us to the teachings of men. Binding us to the teachings of men. Man, when we get into serving men and doing what men want. Let's look here at 2:20 and 21. Not in Romans, but in Colossians. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, by the way, the basic principles of the world, if you look it up in the Greek word literally means from the child's play. From the child's play. In other words, the little things that you did as a baby, why do you keep subjecting yourself to the same immature things you did as a baby? Shouldn't you be grown up? Shouldn't you be an adult? Shouldn't you be mature about this? Shouldn't you be walking with Christ? Why do you continue to subject yourself to the things of the world that these men are teaching that you know is wrong? And I love it because if you talk to somebody, we went out handing out, we covered three neighborhoods, handed out 500 personal invites to the people yesterday in our neighborhoods. Isn't that cool? That is awesome. Absolutely, man. Give them a hand. And here's the thing. You get up and you start talking to the people, and I've talked to... It was really a good day when you talked to one, and as soon as I invited him to church, well, I go to church. I can tell. And then he must have really went under heavy conviction for the lie that he just told me. And he goes, he looks up and he goes, whenever I get a chance. Like he's confessing, okay, I just told the truth now. That should offset the lie that I told. It was so funny. Taylor and I, we walked away, and we both went, he's lying. At the end of our conversation, we're going, you know, he's not telling. I mean, you can just tell he was under so much pressure, and then he's trying to justify it. Or you go up and you invite somebody, and the first thing they do, this area is great for this, God bless them, they say, I'm Catholic. What church do you go to? I'm Catholic. But then you get this. I love it. But I'm a non-practicing one, but I'm Catholic. Well, I'm Christian, but I'm non-practicing this week, just so you know. I'll be back on it next week when life is the way I want it to be. I mean, why do we do this? You know, we just fall into these teachings of men, and then we get bound by it and bound by the rules, and I can't go to your church because I'm this, or I can't follow Jesus because of this, and we just get bound by it. It makes sense. I mean, let's think about it. Even the Bible says here, listen, when he goes in, And he says, listen, in 23, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. The things that these men teach, the philosophy, society that have put on us, they appear to have some wisdom to them. Well, you know, that makes sense. Hey, that, man, you can't argue with that. That's sound argument right there. I gotta consider that. And you know the Bible is completely contrary to it, but yet we get bound to the teachings of men. The next thing is how they are imposed on us. The Jewish law, like I said, they imposed 613 commandments on us, laws, not on us, but on the Jews. From 10 commandments, they get 613. Why would you do that to yourself? I really sat down and I thought about this. Why would man impose more laws on himself, more rules on himself, more restrictions on himself? You know, even I, I was 27 years old when I received Christ as my Savior. And at that time, I was growing up, and listen, the guys around me, they were godly men. My mentors were godly men. They loved the Lord, and they mentored me, and they dedicated their lives to raising me up into mature Christian. And then I go off to Bible college at 35 years old. And as I started really breaking down the scriptures, and I really started reading and understanding and going verse by verse and staying contextual with the topic of the author. You know, if you go out of context what the author's intent is, now you're lying to yourself and you're lying to others if you teach anything other than the context and the intent of the author. Even though the verse might fit somewhere in your life, if it's out of context, it doesn't belong there. And so as I was learning and reading and growing and maturing, and man, I was just digesting these books. And I get these books and I start reading and wow, this is what it means and this is what it means. And all of a sudden I found out, and I love the men that were in my life that helped me. But I found out that I had been indoctrinated. There were certain things where I go, hey, can I do this? For example, I wanted to get a tattoo. How many here wanted to get a tattoo? How many are going to confess? They go, I really do, but I ain't going to raise my hand because I don't want them to think much. I wanted to get a tattoo. And so I was talking to my mentor and I said, listen, I'm going to go down. I didn't know, right? I'm fresh in the faith. I'm just trying to mature and grow in Jesus, and I'm having fun and I'm loving life. And I love the freedom that Christianity gave me. And I went and I said, man, I'm going to go down and get me a tattoo. And here's what it's going to be. And he goes, you can't do that. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, you got to understand, I really wanted this tattoo. I didn't get it, by the way. He said, you can't do that. Why? Leviticus 19:27 says, thou shalt have no markings or cuttings on the body, thus saith the Lord. Man, when I get to heaven, God, me and you are going to talk about this one. I don't appreciate that. My body, you gave it to me, is going to be honoring to you. Why can't I get a tattoo? Can't do it. So I go in and I read, and it's sure enough, that's what the verse says. I shall have no markings or cuttings upon the body, thus saith the Lord. I'm feeling gypped. I'm feeling cheated. I'm feeling like I got to fall into submission under a rule that I just don't like. Now, of course, I have the free will. I can go get me a tattoo anytime I want. But then as I started learning and studying, I found out that Leviticus was for the Levitican priests. It applied to them. I'm not a Levitican priest. There's my way out. Let's go get a tattoo. But then God says, wait a minute. It's not just for the Levitican priests. I don't want you to have that tattoo because just like the Levitican priests were representatives of me, I want you to be a representative of me, but I want you to follow that and don't get a tattoo. Okay, God, but at least I understood the scriptures to be accurate rather than imposing. You understand what I'm saying? The same result happened. I didn't get a tattoo. But not because God told the Levitican priest, don't get a tattoo, but because God says, I don't want that for you. I want you to be a representative of me, but follow that. Okay, God, I'll do that. It's so much easier to submit to that. Do I have the right? Yes, but we have to stay in context of the scriptures. And we have to see that we can't add to these rules and these laws. God just says, listen, if it's a spiritual issue, I'll work with you on it. I'll help you through it. If it's a commandment, I want you to follow it. But all of it is only for your betterment and my glory. Whereas the cults, they just impose it on us because man wants to be in power or something. I'm not sure why people do that. Mark 12:28 through 31 says this, Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is here. It is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" All of a sudden, Jesus takes the Ten Commandments and reduces them down to two. Man, when the Lord's involved, He makes life so much more grand on us. When man's involved, we get 613. God says, "Listen, here's what you do. If you just do this, if you just do these two commandments, life's going to be grand. Love me with everything you are and everything you have, and your neighbor is yourself. If you just do those two, life will be grand." And then what do we do with those two? We forget them. "My neighbor, you want what?" "I don't think so. Get a job." "God, you want me to do what?" "Okay, God, you know I love you. And just as soon as my life slows down, I'm going to start showing you that I love you. Because I'm actually going to read a verse a day. That'll show you, God, that I love you. And God, you know what? I'll do more than just, you know, I'll tell you what, God, to even show you that I love you, I'll actually start praying and giving thanks for the food that you give me. I'll show you I love you. As soon as my world slows down, God, I'm going to do that, I promise." Don't we do that? God says, just two things. Look, I took the whole world, brought it down to two things. And we can't even do that. We get so caught up in ourselves. We talk about rules and, oh, we could live if we had rules. The liberals say, make more laws. Make more laws. Make more laws. Put more laws out there. You can't mandate morality. It's a heart condition. No, make a law. Make a law. Man, I'm going to tell you what. How you like the newest ones are coming out with the hate crimes? Talk about something the Bible says is no good and it's wrong. And if you talk about it, 10 years in prison, mandatory. You realize they're trying to pass a law that stops me from preaching against homosexuality, even though the Bible talks about it? I can't. They're trying to pass a law. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I'll go to jail. I'm going to preach the whole Word of God. Just because you make it a law does not mean that I have to like it or accept it. Especially if it's ungodly. But man mandates. He tries to push things on us. And we think that that's going to make life grand. But it's not, guys. Only what is for Christ makes life grand. B, how they are impressed up on us. How they are impressed on us. 2:21. It says here in 2:21, "Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle." This is how they're impressed on us. Oh, you can't touch that. You can't do this. You can't handle that. If you do this, then you got to go and say 15 hail whatevers and your repentance and pay $50 spiritual fine and it's all good. But you can't do this and you can't do that. And if you do this, you're kicked out of the church. And if you do that, and where's forgiveness and grace and mercy? It's only with Jesus Christ. And Paul says, listen, these people are saying that you can't touch this and you can't do that and you can't go there. And listen, what does Jesus say? What does the Word of God say? Base your life on that, not on what man says. The New Testament deals in principles, not lists of rules. That's the difference. How man-made rules cheat us. Number one, where the system collapses. Where the system collapses, right here. Paul says in 2:22, he says, "Which all concern these things which perish with the using." Listen, all these works, all these things, it perishes with the using. It's not satisfying. Oh, I feel so much better now because I did what the whoever told me. But what happens when that so much better feeling goes away? What, and you're left with just an empty shell again because you don't know Jesus. You don't have the love of God or the wisdom of God or the direction of God. Remember, I talked about 2 weeks ago, I said, listen, God extends favor to you. Secret blessings of God that He bestows on you that when you do what God asks you to do, you're obedient to Him and all the benefits that are bestowed upon you. That's consistent, that is constant. But without Christ, and you're just obedient to a bunch of rules, when the rules are done, you're just left there. You're in search of again. You're looking for something else to satisfy and fulfill you. And Jesus says, listen, you're not going to find it in anything or anybody else but me. Why are you exhausting yourself and your finances and everything you have about you in search of what I'm giving you for free? I've actually thought about that. Why is it that man can't just accept the gift of God? We've got to earn everything. Why is it we don't feel good by being obedient because we got to put an act with it? An act that's dependent upon us. I don't understand how that is, but yet it is what we do. And Paul says, listen, that perishes with the using. It is not going to last. It's like playing tennis with a bubble. You know, like you blow bubbles and you're trying to play tennis. It might work for a second, but eventually it's going to fail. And yet we try to use everything but what God has given us by living by artificial rules. Martin Luther, as you look at his life, and I put this down here, it says, because he swallowed it hook, line, and sinker with Romanism. The Rome's rules for holy living. He fasted, he flogged himself, he said long prayers, he did penance, he went to fanatical extremes, his life became a painful agony, his privations reduced him to a skeleton, he went on pilgrimage to Rome, begging for a crust of bread here and for a copper coin there. He came to Pilate's staircase, he began the long painful ascent on his knees, pleading with the Virgin Mary at every step. None of it did any good. This is what Martin Luther did. He was in search of, and none of it did any good. And then all of a sudden, he's reading it, and he finds this verse that says, "The just shall live by faith." The light bulb comes on. What? Faith. Not works, not money, not all these rules and regulations, just faith. And he took God at His word, and it changed his life in the direction of so many people. In that day, because all of a sudden he realized, wow, the just live by faith. The system collapses because rules do not and cannot change human nature. That's why it collapses, guys. Two, where the system comes from. You know, we got to remember, too, that all these promises from these people, they might sound good, but they're usually never deliverable. They just leave us. They just leave us empty-handed because they cannot deliver. Where the system comes from. The system of rules and regulations breaks down because of where it comes from, which is men. They, according to 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 6, it says that it comes from the doctrines of devils. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. Anytime you see doctrines in plural, it's of men and of demons. It is not of God, because God says doctrine. This is the doctrine. The doctrine of Jesus Christ. Anything other than that is a false doctrine. It's of demons. According to 1 Timothy 4:1, says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And yet, Peter, he went to, God told him to eat that. He says, oh no, nothing vile's touched these lips, God. And God says, listen, everything that I have, everything that I've given you is good. Just receive it with thanksgiving. But men say, okay, you can't eat meat on Friday. I don't know, I'm just throwing that out there. Am I accurate, or is it fish? Or you can only eat fish on Friday. Can't eat meat on Friday. You can only eat fish on Friday. So McDonald's does great on Friday. And with their fish sandwiches and the law, never mind. And so, you know, all of a sudden, these rules and that rules, and we're inundated. Well, what day do we do this, and when can we do that, and what time is it? What? And God says, listen, just receive it, because, man, I gave it to you. You just receive it with thanksgiving and prayer, and it's good. Then he goes on in 1 Timothy 4:1-6 says, if you instruct the brethren of these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing the word of faith and of good doctrine. Listen, if you tell these people they don't have to follow all the doctrines of the demons, they just follow this one doctrine, man, you have done a good thing. Why? Because you're giving men freedom. You're not putting them under the legalism of the law. Why the system convinces. 2:23 says this, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. They have an appearance of wisdom. How many people have you ever met and you go, wow, man, that person's pretty intelligent. And then you actually get to know the person and you go, okay, I recant everything I've ever said about your intelligence. That's what he's saying about this stuff. It has an appearance of wisdom. It sounds good. It tickles the ear. And it allows the flesh to have things that it shouldn't have. And we like that because we're sinful and we're selfish and we want what we want. And so they have an appearance of wisdom. And he says, I want you to know this of the devil. But that's why it convinces. And I put down here, I believe it works. I believe it is works, and works makes people feel as if they did something good and deserving. Oh yeah, I can accept that because all of a sudden now it's up to me. I control my destiny. And all we want to do works. And then the last thing, what the system causes. It says the whole cultic system boasts of secret knowledge, and Paul's talked about that. It's abuse of the body. It's will worship. It's imposition of iron discipline, which is what we're supposed to have. It's strict adherence to rules and regulations, and it's fascination with religious codes. And I'm telling you, God says He rejects it all. It's Jesus Christ only. When we fall under the rules of man, all we're trying to do is minister to our pride. That's what we're trying to do. We have to follow under the leadership of Jesus Christ. It's two commandments that we have to follow, not 613, not even 10. Because if we keep the two, we'll keep everything else. Isn't it amazing how God simplified it? Guys, where are you at spiritually? And what are you following? Because what you're following will definitely determine where you're going. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to take much time. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me say this. You'll never be able to follow Him. You can't follow somebody you don't know. You will follow what you're comfortable with. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to heaven except through Me. That's what Jesus says. If you're here today, and you want heaven as your home, you want victory in your life, you're tired of the lies dominating your life, of false philosophies dominating your life, then it's only going to be through Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you want those victories, then you pray this prayer. But you got to mean it in your heart. You can't just say the words and expect the words to deliver you. It's a heart desire. Quietly in your heart, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for me, that I would have victory, that I would not have to fall under and succumb to the direction of demonized men. And so right now, Lord, I ask You to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, they just weren't words that you labeled or that you said, then according to the Bible, it says that you have believed and you have received. And that's what